Scriptures to Psalm 91. We'll be reading the entire psalm together. And as you are able, please rise for the reading of his word. This is the word of the living and true God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. In times of natural disaster, people flee for safety, don't they? Hurricanes, when they are bearing down upon whatever coast they might be bearing down upon, evacuation notices are given, mandatory evacuation notices. People flee along designated hurricane routes, away from the coastal regions inland, away from the eye of the storm, hoping that the storm will not hit their place. Or if you live a little further inland, people flee from tornadoes. They flee to storm shelters or to the innermost room on a lower floor. Or if you live in an area where there have been a lot of fires, such as in California, people flee before the sweltering flames. But where do people turn in personal or spiritual crises? Some run to the experts, to those who can give them, well, who've written self-help books that show them you just need to believe in yourself. Others flee to the bottle, become drunkards. Others flee to drugs and become drug addicts. Some turn to their friends, and still others even despair of life. Where do you turn in times of personal or spiritual crises? Have you turned to any of the ones that I listed above? Maybe there is some other solution that you have found, some other place that you go in order to escape, to flee the crises that you face. And if you fled to any of these, how did it turn out for you? Did you find the relief that you were looking, for? In our passage, you will see that the only certain relief man will have in times of crisis, natural crises or personal or spiritual crises, is God, who protects, secures, and saves his people. We're looking at Psalm 91, which obviously follows on Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is the first psalm of the fourth book of the book of Psalms. The 150 psalms are divided into five smaller books. The psalms deal and focus on two things. They focus on the law of God, and they focus on the Messiah. And one of the principles that you see throughout the psalms, that as it fares with the Messianic king, so it fares with each member of the Messianic kingdom. The fourth book of Psalms deals with the maturity of the kingdom of God. Book one is all about confrontation. As the king comes to confront the nations and to confront the people. Book 2 deals with communication, and 3 with devastation, and 4 with the maturity of God's people, and 5 finally the consummation, the end, the praise and the glory that God's people will offer up to him. Psalm 90 dealt with the contrast between God's eternality, that is God's infinity, that God is forever and ever, and man's mortality. It distinguishes and it contrasts between God's justice and mercy, shows us God's justice and mercy and our sin. Psalm 92, which follows, is a psalm of thanksgiving, a song for the Sabbath, where the people of God praise and worship him. And sandwiched in between these two psalms is Psalm 91, a psalm that is filled with confidence in the Lord and great trust in his protection as king. Psalm 91, there is no inscription, as you see in many of the psalms. So the social and political and personal context of the psalm is not given. But there's one thing for sure, that as you look at this psalm, you will have no doubt that the psalmist trusts in the Lord. You saw last time when we were looking at Psalm 90 that recognizing life's brevity, life's shortness, believers look to God for mercy and strength. And by God's grace today, I want to show you, believers find their security in God, who brings them safely through life into glory. You'll see, 1, the believer's refuge, 2, the believer's confidence, and 3, the believer's hope. First of all, the believer's refuge. The believer's confidence is in God, in whom he finds security, safety, and refuge. Notice how the psalm begins. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This psalm begins with a confession. One who dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You will notice that as you look at these first two verses, Psalm 91 and Psalm 92, I want to point out something to you, that there are 4 names of God given in these two verses. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's the first name that is given to God. In the Hebrew, that's the word Elyon. It is the idea that God is exalted above everything else. It's a reference to his sovereignty and to his supremacy. It relates towards God's position. It describes who God is by means of his position. He is the Most High. You can't get any higher than the Most High, can you? Because if you can get higher than the Most High, then God is higher than that yet. The second name that is found here is the name, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's in the Hebrew, that's the word Shaddai, which means Almighty. This here focuses our attention on God's omnipotence. That means that God is all-powerful. It describes God in terms of his power. He is more powerful than anything and anyone in this universe. The third name of God is found in verse 2, where he says, I will say of the Lord. That word Lord there translates the Hebrew Yahweh, which means I am. This is the divine name. Remember, this is the name when Moses was told by God to go to the people in Egypt and to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Moses asked the Lord, who should I say sent me? If they ask me, who sent you? Who should I say? And Moses and God said to Moses, tell them, I am that I am sent me. Yahweh, I am. This name refers to God's self-existence, that God is and exists in and of himself, that he has no beginning, he has no end. It relates to his presence, and it is the only proper name that the Lord gives to us in his scripture. And the third name that we find here in verse 2 is the name my God, Elohim. This is the name that you will find describing God throughout the scriptures, one of the most common of the names of God. Elohim refers to God as the creator, the mighty one, the one who is strong. This relates to his person and being, who he is, God in distinction from man. And the psalmist finds his refuge and his strength in the midst of Elyon Shaddai Yahweh Elohim, the God who is most high, almighty, self-existent God. This is where the psalmist turns. And notice he says, he who dwells. Think about that for a moment. He who dwells with the Most High. You know, we have great leaders. And most of us can recognize these leaders when we see them. But how many of you have spent time with these great leaders? I remember many years ago that we were visiting the Parliament buildings in Canada, in Ottawa, the capital of Canada, and I had opportunity to shake the hand of the Prime Minister. Well, that was quite something. Not that I cared necessarily for the Prime Minister, but to shake someone's hand who was in that office. Now imagine dwelling with someone with that kind of power and authority. Now his wife might, you know, have a few other things to say concerning him and concerning what he was like. But do you see the analogy here? And the psalmist says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The psalmist is saying that you can dwell with the Most High, with the one who is above every other God. You can live with him. You can be with him. He will be among you, not as a stranger, an alien, an outsider, but as one who is known by God. That, as it were, when you walk down the street and you see Elyon, he says, "Hi, John. Hi, James. Good to see you." That kind of relationship exists between God and his people. This is an expression of confidence. This entire psalm is an expression of confidence of the believer who seeks to dwell, to live in the secret place of the Most High. What is this secret place? This secret place is the presence of God. Being with God Almighty, the Most High, the one who is and was and will always be. One who dwells with the Most High is not a stranger. He is known by his people. And the secret place is a secure place for the people of God, one that can't be found by the enemies of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When do you see a shadow? You see a shadow when the sun is shining bright. And how close is the shadow to the object which casts the shadow? Sometimes maybe you've seen some movie or something like that where you've got the person, or maybe it was a cartoon, a person, and the shadow is over there on the wall, and there's nothing attached between the person and the shadow. Right? Is that what a shadow is? No, a shadow is in close proximity to the object which casts the shadow. And those who dwell with the Most High shall abide, remain, be under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not that God is over there and you're over there. No, when you stand in the presence of God, it's as it were, his shadow is cast upon you. The Most High, the Almighty One, is right there with you, in your need, in your difficulty, even in the trials and struggles that you face. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you do not dwell in the secret place of the Most High, will you be under the shadow of the Almighty? You know the answer to that question. Of course not. Those who dwell in the shadow, in the secret place of the Most High are with God, are near God, and He will protect them and grant all that they need. But notice the psalmist's confession. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Here you have the testimony of the believer to himself and to others. The one who dwells with the Almighty, who abides in the shadow of the Most High, he acknowledges God as his refuge, as his shelter, as a place to come in from the rain, to get out of the wind, whether the idea of being like a building or a rock or something like that. He says, God, I will say of the Lord, I am the Almighty One, the self-existent one, the one who is and was and is to come. I am. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my fortress. And that word fortress has the idea of a mountain stronghold, a place built for protection from the attacks of the enemy. Though 1,000 might come against you, those for whom God is a refuge and a fortress have nothing to fear. And the psalmist says, He is my God, my Creator, my Maker, the Mighty One. In Him I will trust. To trust is to place one's confidence in, to feel secure and safe in. To trust is to set one's hope and confidence upon God, and to be secure in God, and to fear nothing from God or from those that oppose Him. And the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty, who says of God, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God, in Him I will trust, has nothing to fear. Brothers and sisters, where is this secret place of God? This is a place that the world cannot find. It is a place that is inaccessible and unapproachable. For this secret place of the Most High is to be found only in Christ. And it will be found by only those who rest in Him. It is the place that is behind God, as it were, where God's shadow is cast so His enemies can't see, and the storms will not break upon you, but will break upon God Himself. They have to get past God first. This is the safe place, the refuge, and the security of the believer. God is so much more than His creatures. He is infinitely more honored. He is infinitely more powerful than anything, and thus God is worthy of our trust and our hope. If God is all of these things, a refuge, a stronghold, if He is the Most High and the Almighty, then what do you have to fear? What do you have to fear from the world that is around you? What do you have to fear when the world mocks and laughs and scorns you? You have nothing to fear, because you have a power in front of you who casts His shadow over you, who will protect you and bring you safely through. And notice the believer's deliverance. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The idea here of delivering is to rescue you, to bring you out of danger and into safety and security. And the psalmist uses two pictures here to describe the safety and the security that the Lord rescues you from. He rescues you from hidden dangers. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The snare is a trap that is hidden. This snare of the fowler has a reference to the idea of the consequences of sin. You have the picture of a bird, unsuspecting, trusting, falling into the snare and unable to get out, struggling to get out, but unable to do so. The Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the consequences of sin, from those that seek to harm you and to destroy you. These snares are the traps and the dangers and the pitfalls made by our enemies, by the enemies of God. These snares and traps are the lusts of the flesh and the power of darkness. David says in Psalm 140, "The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me." We live in a world that is setting traps all over the place. You have to walk very carefully. Someone I know recently was asked a question, "Are you a homophobe?" And the wise answer that was given is, "No, I'm not afraid of man. I disagree with what they do." But you see the trap there. "Oh, yeah, I'm afraid of them. Oh, well, that, you know, you ought not to be afraid of, you get made fun of. Or, no, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them at all." Brothers and sisters, our hope and our strength and our confidence is in the Lord. And the world is setting traps that you might fall. They want to see the church destroyed. They want to see the people of God embarrassed and silenced. That was the purpose of that question. But not only will the Lord deliver his people from hidden dangers, he delivers them from unseen dangers as well, from the perilous pestilence. That word perilous is literally the idea of destructive, the kind of trouble that will destroy. And pestilence is plague and disease, and it's the pernicious evil influence that you would see. These are the dangers that come from the curse upon creation. You hear of those who battle with cancer and heart disease and lung disease and so many other diseases and the weakness of the flesh. All of these are the perilous pestilence, which is the result of the curse upon the world. And the Lord will deliver his people from these hidden snares and dangers. It deals with the dangers that are unseen as opposed to those that are open. And what the psalmist is pointing out here is that the Lord will deliver you from all evil, all forms of evil. God is willing and able to deliver you, says one writer. These are the dangers posed by the wickedness of men, as well as the dangers posed by the consequence of sin. He who dwells with the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty, whose God is the refuge and fortress, does not have to worry about snares and pestilence, about hidden and open traps, for they will be delivered. But how shall you be delivered? Notice what the psalmist says. He shall cover you with his feathers. What a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? This is in keeping with verse 3, where it talks about the fowler being, or the bird being delivered from the snare of the fowler. The idea of covering is to be have something put on top of you to protect you from the danger, much like a lid is put on a pan. Nothing can get in and nothing can get out. And the psalmist says, he shall cover you with his feathers. When you think of feathers, what do you think of? Soft, warm, secure. Some people even sleep with feathered pillows, right? But where does this idea come from? The idea of feathers has the idea of safety and security. Just as chicks or little birds nestle under their mother's feathers at night for rest. And when danger comes, they run to her to be hidden in her feathers from danger. So those whom God loves and God protects are covered by his feathers. It's a place of safety and security. But not only is it a place of safety and security, chicks find safety under their powerful wings. And under her wings you shall take refuge. Did you know that that bird's wings are strong? I had opportunity many times to catch chickens, and as we had to deliver them, to ship them out of the farm. And whenever you would catch the chickens, you have to go and you have to catch them by their feet, and you hold them, and they are hanging there upside down, and they're going flap, 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 flap. And especially the roosters, if they hit your hands or they hit your legs, boy, did that ever hurt. Their legs or their wings are strong. They're powerful. And the psalmist says that those who take refuge in God, they shall be under his wings. They shall find protection, shelter from harm and from danger, and nothing shall get to them. And then the psalmist uses another image to describe the protection that God provides his people. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Truth is that right and sincere knowledge of God which frees us from all error and falsehood. God provides his people with a tool for protection. Truth is that tool. Truth is that tool by which you judge what is right and wrong, whereby you judge whether something is correct or an error, where you judge by appearance or reality, by fact or fiction. Truth is the tool God has given by which you may know him. And it's really not all that surprising. For God, who made everything by the word of his power in the space of 6 days out of nothing, when he said, let there be, not only did he put all these molecules and create all matter by speaking it, but he gave it meaning and he gave it purpose. That's what truth is. And by truth, it's a sincere knowledge of God which frees us from error and falsehood. And it is by truth that you are, that truth is your shield and your buckler. A shield is a defensive piece of equipment that is designed to harmlessly turn aside danger, whether that be a sword or an arrow. And a buckler is a small round shield used for close hand-to-hand combat. Again, it is a defensive piece of equipment. Now, that word buckler could also be translated as a wall that the Lord is surrounding you. But truth is the tool that you use to deflect the arrows of the enemy, to deflect the hatred of God's of the enemies of God against you. You see, truth is truth because God, Elyon Shaddai, Yahweh Elohim, made all things and defines him. God gives his people, God gives you and me truth that you might be armed and able to defend yourself. Truth is the tool that fortifies you and in faith in God and in his promises. And truth is the means by which you believe in God and trust Christ and come to him in faith. Brothers and sisters, there is no better place to be than in the secret place of the Most High. Are you struggling? Is there something in your life with which you find great difficulty? Perhaps it's in a relationship. Perhaps it's decisions that need to be made. Perhaps it's dealing with those who are unbelievers, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Where will you turn? Where will you go? Where will you find hope and protection? Will you seek it in your own strength? Or will you, like the psalmist, find refuge in the Lord? Will you confess with the psalmist that God is my refuge and my fortress? In him I will trust. You know, that phrase, in him I will trust, that's probably one of the most difficult things for a Christian, isn't it? Especially when things are not going well. Perhaps we've lost a loved one. Perhaps financially you're in difficulty. Perhaps you see loved ones who are struggling and can do nothing about it. Will you trust in God, resting that He is almighty, that He is with you, that He is the Most High? You know, this area of trusting in God is an area that's hard for me. You see all that goes on around you, and you think, Lord, why? What are you teaching me? What am I to learn from all of this? The Lord, He shall be your shield and your buckler, the truth that the Lord has given. And that is to be found in one place and one place alone. It is to be found in Christ Jesus. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are believing a falsehood. You are believing a lie. You are believing an illusion. But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the storms may come. And like Peter, you can get out of the boat and walk on the water, as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, believers find their security in God, who brings them safely through life into glory. God is the fortress of His people. Is He yours? Do you find your strength in Him? Is your life hid with Christ in God? Then you can confess with the psalmist, He is my refuge and my fortress. Let whatever the world want to throw my way, let it come my way. He is my God. In Him I will trust.